are listening to The Sun on the Strip. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer for the Las Vegas Sun. And every Wednesday, I'll have an exclusive conversation with someone who is being fabulous on the Las Vegas Strip, as well as an update on what's going on in the world of entertainment here in Vegas. Thank you for listening. Las Vegas is 100% open as of this week, June 1st, to be exact. And you probably already know that doesn't mean every single show and concert and event is magically back again right where we started this whole crazy thing in March of last year. But now there are not COVID restrictions limiting those comebacks. The biggest convention to come to Las Vegas is starting next week, World of Concrete at the Las Vegas Convention Center. That will be another huge step toward Vegas getting back to being Vegas. But on the tourism front, we just had massive crowds fill up the Strip for Memorial Day weekend. It was the busiest weekend in air travel since March of last year, all across the country, and the mega resorts on the Strip were reportedly all up in the 90% occupancy range. So things are looking good. This is the start of a very big summer in Las Vegas, and the entertainment will be here to generate all that excitement. Very big concerts and residency comebacks announced in the last week, including Shania Twain back at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood in December, and Keith Urban back at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace in September. Earlier this week, we had new concert engagements announced for Adam Lambert at the Venetian Theater for 5 shows in October, and Brad Paisley for 2 shows at Encore Theater at Wynn, coming up quickly on June 25th and 26th. But even earlier than that is the delayed grand opening celebration for Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. Virgin, of course, opened in March after renovating from the former Hard Rock Hotel just east of the Strip, and it had a quiet debut because of those pandemic restrictions. Now that those are gone, the resort has planned the first major concert at the theater at Virgin Las Vegas, starring Christina Aguilera, with performances by Flo Rida and Mixmaster Mike. That's all going down on June 10th. That's the same day Virgin's Elia Beach Club is set to open as well. And now it's been revealed that the other restaurants and venues that haven't opened up just yet will be ready to go by that June 10th date. Richard Branson, the founder of the Virgin brand, will be in Las Vegas to launch the party, and it's sure to be a really exciting night. And June's going to be an overwhelmingly exciting month. Don't forget, Resorts World on the Strip is going to open in just a few weeks on June 24th. One more cool bit of Vegas entertainment news. Spy Entertainment, which produces some of the most successful shows on the Strip, like Thunder from Down Under and Boys to Men, that company has struck a deal with the Strat to take over its showroom and program some new fun stuff very soon. I'm going to be speaking with both parties this week, and I'll have a full report for you in a few days at LasVegasSun.com. My interview this week is with not one, but two of the funniest people in Las Vegas, Nancy Ryan and John Bazaar. They are both veteran comedians. They have been married to each other for 11 years, and they can both be seen right now performing in burlesque shows on the Strip. Nancy has been in ex-burlesque at the Flamingo for 13 years, which is incredible, and John has been in ex-country at Harrah's for 5 years. He was in ex-rocks, the rock and roll themed female review from Stabile Productions, before that. And X-Rox is the only one of these three related shows that is not currently open, but it's looking for a new home after ending its run at Bally's, and I'm sure it'll be back soon. This is going to be a pretty funny and wild conversation about Nancy and John getting together. They actually have a really beautiful love story, and we're going to start with that. But we're also going to talk about how weird it was to come back on stage during the pandemic, and how great it is to now be performing without all those tricky restrictions. A little warning, there are a few four-letter words in this one, actually the same four-letter word repeated a few times. But don't worry, it's in a story about Judy Garland, so it's going to be fine. You're going to enjoy this, and I definitely did. This is Nancy Ryan and John Bazaar. Well, how long have you two been together?
We've been married, it'll be 11 years in October. We've been together 13 years. And I waited for him 3 years prior to that.
We first met in, I had quit show business. I moved to Amsterdam. I became a rickshaw driver. I came back. My agent sent me out on the road. And I went to Rascals in New Jersey. And
wearing the t-shirt.
And she was hosting her own show. And that was the first time we met. And that was like
97.
And that was the first time we met. We did that week together. And then we didn't see each other again for 10 years. And then 10 years later, I got booked up at this gig in Mesquite. And I went up there, and there she was. And I was living in LA at the time. She was living there. And then we met, and then again, and then we kept in contact. And then, and you know, I was like, I was ready to quit show business again. And I was going to move to Alaska. And then I said, hey, I need to save a little money. Can I stay at your place for a little while and save a little money? And she's like, okay. So I moved in. And then 3 years later, we got married. I think I skipped over stuff, but that's...
He skipped over the part. from the time we saw each other get a Mesquite, I knew this was the guy. But I knew it 10 years prior in New Jersey. And we worked together the whole week. I'm listening to his stories going, I can't get enough of this guy. You know, just his stories and the way he talks. And then at the end of the week, he's gone. And I'm crying and I'm like, why am I crying? It's just some guy I worked with for a week. And 10 years later, Mesquite. And I was like, this is it. This is the guy. This is it. And he's like, I don't want to be with anybody. And that went on for 3 years. And I lived like a nun. I didn't date anyone. I didn't go out and nothing. And waited, and he moved in platonically, and we became the closest of friends. You know, I hate when you see that, like, I married my best friend.
Especially when you say it like that.
But that's how it reads. When you read the card,
yeah.
I married my best friend.
I married my best friend.
It's like, ugh. But it really is. But we became, like, the closest of friends.
Yeah.
There was no way around it. And then when he was ready, he let me know I was on my way to go do the show. He's at home working on his computer. I'm heading out the door. He goes, wait a minute. And I turn around and I come back and I go, what? And he goes, I just want to say that I love you and I'm not afraid anymore. And I'm like, I'm on stage in like 25. Don't move. I'll be right back.
Okay. Now she's leaving something out.
What am I leaving?
What you're leaving out is that... I mean, I was platonic. We were platonic because I was not going to have sex with a woman who loves me. And then I didn't want to be in a relationship. I'm not going to be a bad guy. So right. That's, you know, I'm not going to be a, so, and then, you know, but I, you know, we were getting friendly and I started to love her. And then she came down the stairs that she didn't mention this. She came down the stairs and she's wearing this little black dress. And it was
going to work.
It was, yeah, whatever. And it was hugging her and it's like gripping her hips. And it's, oh my sweet God. It was so hot.
I went, thinner.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I think I'm in on that one. Come over here for just a second. And then I, yeah.
That's not true.
That's all 100% true.
I mean, it's always the combination of all these elements, right? Everything is in the mix. But yeah, I can see how that can make a big difference.
Yeah.
It's also a lot younger and thinner. So
there's a lot. Nah, you can still throw that on.
Yeah, all right.
In fact, why don't you?
All right, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
Before we got on this Zoom, I was thinking that my wife and I, we work in kind of the same industry, not exactly, sort of, but you two, I mean, you guys do the same job. You have your own styles, of course, but you're basically doing the same thing. So what's the dynamic like for you as far as, you know, talking about work, trading notes, giving tips or whatever? Do you guys exchange ideas a lot? Do you just kind of let each other alone, or what's that like?
Well, I know that when we go to work, we have two completely different styles of going to work, and we're in the car together. So it doesn't always jive. Jive the right word?
Yes.
Okay. I got to look that up.
It's a good one.
I got a new dictionary. I'll show it to you in a little bit. I need to think and she needs to not think. So she wants like music and crank up the music really loud and let's blah, blah, you know, she gets into the energy of it. And I need to kind of just like focus. And so somehow we work that out in the car every night. We just kind of, it's a little give and take. And,
I do the focus thing 2 minutes before I go on, 2 minutes before they announce me. I'm behind the curtain doing this little mantra that from the story that was told to me, third, fourth generation down, of how Judy Garland used to prepare. And that's kind of how I focus, but it's only for 2 minutes before I go on.
Why don't you say what it is?
Okay. This story came in from somebody, a comedian who worked with Alan King, the great Alan King, who used to work with Judy Garland. And he used to say that Judy Garland's anxiety was so high, so elevated, and her insecurity and everything like that. What are they going to be like? They're going to hate me. Because that anxiety is so real. You can go out and get a standing ovation, and then the next night you're just like, I can't do it. What's going to... So her mantra, she'd be behind the curtain going, fuck them, over and over again. And it would take her down. It works. Mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah.
So, but he doesn't have anxiety the way I do. So it, for me, it works for me. So
I have anger issues. Well, we both have anger issues, but, I do a similar thing. Like before, I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. And I'm imagining people saying stuff to me and me just responding, whatever. And that just helps me. And then just get out there. And I still learn from her. I could never really do crowd work earlier in my career. And then I watch her and it's a real art form. Crowd work is such an art. It really is. I mean, the way you talk to the audience, the questions you ask them, and then to take that and tune it, you look like you were going to ask something there.
I was just thinking that I agree. It seems like an art form. It seems really challenging, but especially in comedy, you know, in Vegas, there's so many shows where there's a lot of interaction with the audience, obviously magic and different things. And
yes,
but in comedy, that interaction can be hostile. There's hecklers, and that is not, you know, sometimes I'm sure you guys know this better than me, but sometimes it's, you know, we're just, somebody's drunk and they're just trying to have fun and they don't really mean to cause any problems. But sometimes it is aggressive and like way unnecessary. And I'm sure you both have encountered all forms of this throughout your career. So I don't know if that still counts as crowd work, but that's pretty intense.
It is. And it's also crowd work within the context of a topless burlesque show. So it's a lot of times they don't even know there's a comic on the show. So they're there to see the topless burlesque show. And now here's your comedian. And they're like, what? And most of the time it's like, oh, cool. All right, there's a comic. And then, you know, there's like 10, 12 minutes. Like, yeah, that was great. But there's a percentage of people, like you say, that are there. They're aggressive or they're like, well, I'm going to take this one on. Like they're going to challenge me. Like it's like we're in the old West. Oh yeah. You're a gunslinger. All right. So am I. And then you got to go back and forth with that. And it's almost like babysitting. Sometimes it's like you're like babysitting this alcoholism sometimes. And sometimes you're babysitting aggression or like say, or whatever. And it's almost different within, like if you go to, I like Brad Garrett's is my favorite comedy club. And when you're on that stage, that's a different thing because they're there to see the comedy show.
Right. Yeah.
They're there for a comedy show. With our shows, ex-burlesque and ex-comedy, or ex-burlesque and ex-country, they're not there to see the comedy, for the most part. But it is, we do see some, sometimes reviews and stuff, people go, no, we came to see you guys too. Mm-hmm.
You've both been doing these shows for a number of years now, these X shows. What other ways is it different to do comedy in these sexy Vegas shows versus what you guys have probably done before that, which is touring around and going to comedy clubs and doing stand-up?
Exactly. Shows and venues? The you know, when you first start comedy, which I started 29 years ago, one of the first things was get your audience. You have 15 seconds to get your first laugh, to get your audience. 15 seconds. And on a burlesque show, you have about five. That's no lie. You have got to be boom. And, you know, look at us. We're not in our 20s, right? And when we walk out, we have a lot of things against us. Our age, our physiques. They just looked at these gorgeous women for 20 minutes taking their clothes off, and incredible athletes. And here we come. It's like, you know, so you have to, the only thing you have is your mouthpiece, the charm. And it took me a number of years to figure it out. I'd say in the past, I've been on the show for 13 years. I'd say the past 7 years is when I really started to go, oh, I get it. I know how to really work. That's how hard it is. Mm. I was on the road for 16 years prior to the show. So, you know, you think that you know everything and you know nothing when you get on a burlesque show.
It's kind of weird because a lot of times we have to be really selective when we're going to choose someone to fill in for us, because for the average comic, I didn't know when I first started filling in for her before I got a show, I didn't know how to do it. I was just kind of just when I did what I did, and it wouldn't really work. It's like, you have to do something different. You have to go out. And I think our childhoods actually help us, because I was an Air Force brat. And whenever you went into a new school, I moved at a different school every year. And whenever you went, you had to hit before they hit. Mm-hmm. You had to be faster than them. You had to be smarter than them. You had to be quicker than them. You had to know where they were going to come on. And she, same way, like when she was a kid, she went to some different schools and had some troubles in different schools. And she knew how to, you know, I can hit before they do. Mm-hmm. And you really have to, on these shows, just get out there and go, no, this is what's happening right now. This is what, so that it's like you overwhelm them. And then they go, oh, okay, I got it. Now just let this person talk for a while.
Right. With the pandemic, you know, something in you changes. You're home, you're on social media, you're reading and listening to people who are going through horrific times, and people that are out of jobs and have no money or food. And you become all that angst that we use on stage, all that creative angst is gone. Now you're living this other life of, how can I help? Not that we didn't want to help before, but this was different. And for me, I felt like I became more compassionate, softer. So when we went back to the shows almost a year later, it was almost like starting over. First of all, there was only 28 people.
25 feet from the stage.
And 25 mm-hmm. feet from the stage. In masks, everything's again. And where's my voice? Like, I couldn't, it was really, really difficult for me. I think he had a little bit easier. I just didn't know how to do that bite thing again. Mm. It wasn't until, so we've been back 3 months, about a month ago is when I started to hit my stride again. Now, I got standing ovations the other night, you know, and I'm really, it's really back, which is great, but it took a bit.
Do you feel like, Nancy, that you did redevelop that, whatever that edge was that you had to find a little bit, but that you're still, are you like a different kind of a performer in a way because of this? You think you're just changed permanently?
I think that, not that I didn't have compassion before. I've always tried to help and do for the community, but now it's tied in with that angst. And what's happened is that angst and that anger on stage is even funnier, I think, because it's almost like they know that there's a different person under there. Whatever it is, it's working. So yeah, so I brought the two together. It's pretty cool.
Both of you have been back on stage at X Burlesque and X Country for a few months now, and I'm sure you're really happy to be, you know, moving forward. Masks are coming off, less restrictions. We're real close to being in the full capacity world again, hopefully. Yeah. How does that feel to be really getting back to normal in terms of your performances and just Vegas showbiz in general?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're really lucky. I mean, we're doing two shows tonight, five nights a week. And I don't know how many other people are doing that. It's a lot. It's great. We're just slugging it out there night after night. And yeah, it's so nice how they're gradually coming in. It's actually weird to see their faces now. Mm-hmm. Nothing against them. If any of them are watching, yeah, you got great faces, but you know, it's just weird seeing them. And well, some of them, but anyway, yeah. So it was like 25 feet. And then it was like, what was it?
12
feet. And it's like six. They're slowly moving in 3 feet, yeah. Like predators. And yeah, now it's like 3 feet. We had these, on our stage, I know, I think she had them too. They had put these tape lines. Oh, yeah. So you couldn't step outside the tape. And I'm like a caged animal. I mean, I need a lot of stage. I need to move a lot. And so it was always that kind of, you know, it's like, here's the line. And you're going like, I don't, you just want to go, you know, COVID, no COVID, COVID, no, you just want to stay somewhere. It's so, but it's great now. We can hear them now.
Yeah.
Because they didn't even know how to respond a lot of times, mm-hmm. because they're muffled and laughter is just kind of like this. So it sounded different and they're uncomfortable because it's just, and then some people would, you know, there were rules in the room and the ushers have to enforce the rules. The rules are comedy or no comedy. You got to keep your mask on. So they got to keep, but some people just pull it, you know, they're like this, but then they just pull it down. And then so they're arguing with the ushers and they're still trying to pay attention. Like, ah, well, I'm listening to the guy. He's trying, he told, all right, but I got, you know, it was just such a balancing act, but now it's good. Masks are off backstage, which that was really weird too. I mean, initially we started in October. We were the X Country was the first, I think, the first production show to reopen in Las Vegas.
First casino show, yeah.
Right. And we were so rigid that October. I mean, the lines where I could walk this way and the girls would walk this way, and you know, everything you touch was like, immediately wash your hands, immediately wash your hands. And there were some of the guys who worked there checking. So they would pop back there and make sure everybody's doing. So you really had to do it. And it was, yeah, it does feel kind of free now.
Yeah.
We have been freed up.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool to kind of look back later on, years from now, we'll look back at this weird year and remember which shows actually kept on stage, you know, kept entertaining people, kept the casts and crew employed, you know, which companies went that extra mile to do that. And you guys are a part of that. And Angela and Matt Stabile are a big part of that and just bringing entertainment back to Vegas in general. And that's, you know, everybody should be super proud about that.
So it's really great. I remember that night, that opening night at X Country, reopening night in late October last year, like all the executives are there, like the Caesars executives, Harris executives, you know, everybody's there. All these suits are there. And I remember I was on stage with the girls and their different pictures are being taken. And, you know, they're young, you know, they're in their 20s. And I remember just saying for a second, I go, look, just to let you know, I just said this in a side note, as people are coming up to take pictures, it's like, this is huge. This is really big. You will, as you just said, I said the same thing. It's like, you will look back on this and go, oh yeah, remember that? This is huge. There's a reason that all these executives are here right now.
Right.
This is a big thing. This is really cool. So yeah, it was a real, it was a real honor to do that that night. It felt like something. It's like we're finally come, because when we think about this now, this is May. Last May, Nancy and I would get in a car and we just drive up and down the strip. And we would see two people on the Las Vegas Strip.
Did you do that, Brock?
I did it once. It was so depressing to me that I didn't do it again until June when casinos opened up again. Because everybody was like, oh, we can go jogging or we can ride our bikes on the strip. And it's kind of cool to see it all quiet and stuff like that. But doing what I do and my wife, who works in tourism, doing what she does, mm-hmm. that was not cool for us. That was not a great experience for us because we were scared that our lives and everyone else's livelihoods was just in jeopardy and on the line. And I couldn't, it just felt too strange to be there and absorb it that way.
Yeah, we were doing it and she would go on Facebook Live and we would just go, all right, we're on the strip and we're just showing people like around the country what it looked like. And it was just because it was so surreal and it was so weird. And at the time we were like, it would get like that. Like at first we'd be like, man, look at this. This is unbelievable. But then by the end of the trip, we're like, so depressed. Yeah. Like we were, is it ever coming? It didn't seem like it was ever coming back.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking at the time, this is Vegas. Vegas is a thing unto itself. And around the world, people, you can go anywhere. They know about Las Vegas, anywhere in the world. And sometimes most people want to go there at least once just to see it. So I'm like, it's going to come back. It will. It just doesn't seem like it right now.
Yeah.
Because that was the weirdest thing from like Sahara all the way down to Tropicana and see two people, like one homeless guy and one woman, and they're both scurrying around a corner or something. Yeah. Oh, there was a person right there. It was really like a post-apocalyptic movie as you're driving through it. It was so weird.
Yes.
Yeah. Driving by the Bellagio in those early weeks.
Yeah.
That was the one where you're just like, it took your breath away. Not in a good way. That the fountains are not on, the lights in the water are not on, and the hotel was dark. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And I remember too, just waking up one day and looking at John and I go, what the F is going on? What is this right now?
Yeah, like, it really seemed like we had entered into another dimension. A couple of weeks ago, I remember I was texting her. I'm in between shows, and I walk down on the street, and it's just packed with people. They're everywhere.
Everywhere.
And I was texting, you should walk out front. Do you remember what we were thinking a year ago? And now it's like I can't even get to the street. There's so many people coming. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
What do you guys want to say to the people who are coming back to Vegas now and are going to be coming back to see you in X country and X burlesque?
Enjoy Las Vegas the way it's meant to be enjoyed, and take advantage of everything, the restaurants, the gambling, the shows, enjoy it all. Go to a dispensary, enjoy that, you know, whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
Come and have a great time and, you know, come without any expectations. That way you'll enjoy.
And explore. I always like to tell people like who've never been here before, you're coming to Vegas, don't sleep. Stay awake, explore the city. There's so much to see. I like to say, make sure at some point you go down to Fremont Street to discover. Well, you should never go down to Fremont Street. And then, you know, make sure we have a Taco Bell down the strip that has a liquor license and a wedding chapel. That's a lot of potential mistakes under one roof. You have to go there. You have to see it. You have to. Yeah, and we have museums. We have a pinball museum. We have a burlesque museum. We have a mob museum. And now we got Van Gogh coming.
Yeah.
That I can't wait for that.
Me too.
And that it's whatever that's called. Is that image mapping? Is that what that's called? What they're doing with it? Those. Yeah, that. Make sure you go to the dispensary first for your gummies before you go there.
Yeah, Area 15.
Area 15 has it right there. Now. Yeah.
There's so much, you know, that.
But then definitely see X-Burlesque and Mix Country.
Yeah, yeah.
And this will be coming back soon, I think. I don't know where.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, this is where I started. Mm-hmm. This is where, when I started with the Stabiles, they threw me into this. I still have a special place in my heart for this. Should I stop doing that?
No, you're fine. What Chippendales?
That's going to do it for this week's Sun on the Strip. You can find past episodes at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. And let me also remind you to check out the website every Thursday for my Vegas showbiz column, Curtain Up, where I've got a lot more news and info about reopening shows. And you got to hit it every Friday for the Best Bets, which is my live entertainment picks for you to plan your weekend around. It's always there for you at lasvegassun.com. Thanks for listening today, and special thanks to the wonderful Nancy Ryan and John Bazaar. Go let them make you laugh. You deserve it. In X-Burlesque at Flamingo and X-Country at Harrah's. Take care. See you next week.